This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What's up, people?
Here we go. This is You're Not Listening, the podcast that teaches people how to actively listen to music one song at a time. I'm Sean O'Loughlin.
I am Sean's dad.
And we're back after a long break. I hope you enjoyed Liberty DeVito as a guest. That was our last episode. Crazy. It feels like it was
crazy.
It feels like
no, it wasn't.
It
was only a couple weeks ago.
But
you just have this long feel because you have three girls.
Yeah.
And
I don't sleep at night. The days are long.
Yeah, chickens and goats and all that kind of stuff. Your life is just a lot busier. Yeah. It wasn't all that long ago. So
only one chicken left. We only have one chicken left.
It makes you sad. So.
Yeah, but the goats like take care of her. That's like
oh, really?
The goats are her flock now. Yeah, we'll put her out in the yard, and then after like 5 minutes, she's like back in the goat pen. Like,
really?
Hanging with the goats, yeah.
Oh, that's good. So she still has family. That's
yeah, it's kind of funny. All right, so got some songs for you today. Very, very different styles, very different songs. It's not quite opera, but I know we're going to have some opera coming up in the future, so get excited for that. But these two songs.
All right.
We want people to listen, to want to listen to the podcast. So
right, not,
we
yeah,
probably
not send them
sing.
Away.
These are very different songs, and we'll talk about what they are in a minute. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody to check out pantheonpodcast.com. As we say every time, we are proud members of the Pantheon Podcast Network. It's chock full of some amazing music podcasts. If you like this show, I guarantee you'll find a show that you like there. So make sure you check it out, pantheonpodcast.com. Link is in the show notes. And then also make sure that you are subscribed to You're Not Listening wherever you listen to podcasts. We're there. Hit the subscribe button so every time we get a new episode, it is automatically downloaded to your device so you can listen to it whenever you want.
Whoop, whoop. Well, we have a new page, too. We have partnered up with we have a third member of the team, our friend Joy, and she's been kind enough to kind of come on up with, I don't want to call it a fan page because it
sounds it's kinda... a group. It's a community. So our vision for
explain
the,
that.
Yeah. So our vision for the social media aspect of You're Not Listening was always to create a space where people could get together and talk about music and talk about songs that they love and stuff like that and like have kind of cool conversations because we have cool conversations, but as much as we love to engage with you, it's hard for us to actually get together and talk with all of our listeners. So all of our listeners all around the world, our hundreds of millions of listeners.
We are big in the Middle East still.
Yeah. Shout out to our friends in India again.
Yep. That's right.
We wanted it to be a place that people could kind of have these similar conversations and then also engage with us and talk about, you know, the songs that we talk about, something that they may have noticed or something that we highlighted that they didn't know. And so we created a Facebook page. The problem with Facebook pages is it's made for like businesses and like promo stuff, which is fine for when we have a new episode and we can share our own stuff, but it's not as interactive as a group. And so after a year or so of having the page and just kind of pushing content out, we brought Joy on board to help us create and administrate a Facebook group. And she created it. Let me get the official name for it here. I should have this ready.
She's awesome too. She's awesome.
How do I get to
Can I also
groups?
Promo that we have an episode coming up with Joy?
Yeah, Joy's going to be on the show too. She's yep. a great... She's
big
very, very supportive, and I'm really glad that we kind of brought her on board for an episode because she showed a song that I loved, I had never heard before, and it was awesome. So the group is on Facebook. It's called You're Not Listening, a music podcast discussion group. It already has over 50 members in it. It's new, but there's some cool stuff going on, and the people that are in there are very...
They engage.
They're engaging, yeah, they're having... It's what we wanted from the beginning, which is kind of right. cool.
I think they tend to be more music minded,
yeah,
as well.
And the thing that I want to make known is this is a safe space. You know, everybody has their own likes, their own opinions, and their own preferences when it comes to music and other things. And this is a safe space, so there's going to be no hate. And I'm an administrator, you're an administrator, and Joy is an administrator. Mm-hmm. If there's any hate going on in this group, it's just going to get deleted. And if you're pushing hate on this group, you're going to get booted. Because this is a safe space where people can just talk about what they love. And
they can find a million other spaces to do that, but not on ours.
That's right. Don't be a dick.
I'm glad we don't have a sticker with that one, I have to say. I'm glad
we do.
We have the cheese and lost in the sauce, but let's not make a sticker with that one.
Listen.
Although Liberty loved that line.
That is the way to live your life. Just if you're a good person and you're just not a dick, then you're going to go far in life. So just don't be a dick. Be a good person.
I don't know if you noticed at the end, Liberty was laughing about that. He did like that line. So.
Well, I think we did send him a sticker that has our kind of sign-off line on it. So.
Yep. So what a great guy.
Hopefully he'll like that.
He was so generous with his time. We could have been on there for another 3 or 4 hours and stuff. So
yeah.
He was good. He was a great guy.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and then lastly, social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram, at YNL Podcast. And if you like the show and you want to support the show, if you think you can afford like $2 a month, please check out the link in our show notes for our Patreon page. You can help support the show. That's what kind of helps keep us going. This actually costs money for us to put out.
Yes, we
don't make any money on this, so any support that people are willing to provide is super helpful. And at $2 a month, you can get access to extra content on our Patreon page, including full unedited video recordings of every episode. So we do this on video chat when we do it, so you can see our faces, you can see the spaces that we're working in and all the silly stuff around us and all of our bleeps and bloops and mistakes and
cats and dogs,
beard scritches that we edit out of the show in the audio version. You get to see it all. It's unedited. So it's kind of fun. Some people are into that. So if that sounds interesting to you, along with maybe some extra episodes down the road, maybe some exclusive discounts in the Teespring store, which is also linked in the show notes. You can get sweet coffee mugs and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff. Then check out all of the links in the show notes so you can see everything that we have to offer. And I think with that, I think it's time to get into it. I think we're ready to talk about some music. So what song are you doing today?
First off, I apologize. This is a long one, and it's a live one.
It's like a seven-minute song.
I know that you've been trying to kind of wean me off that, but you know, I went backwards a little. Instead of having a three-minute song that's poppy and stuff, I went back, and this is a seven-minute version of it. So, sorry.
I know you love live versions of songs, and I have some live versions on my list too, but sometimes they're hard to find. Sometimes they're not available. And the thing is, like, you find a live version of a song on, like, that was on like a DVD special or a PBS concert special or something like that. And it's on YouTube and it's great. The problem is it's not accessible to everybody. And it's not like, you can't go buy that album, right?
Right.
Not all the time. And so I try to kind of stay away from live stuff, A, because of that reason, but also because they are longer sometimes. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
I know. I know. But, you know, we've had episodes before where you say, but you need to go listen to the live version. And it's like, okay, that's cool, but I can't express what we're talking about because I can't play that. So
Right. This one is a live album, and it's from a live album. So it's very accessible from Spotify.
Right. And what is it?
Well, the song I'm going to choose, I'm going back again, and I promise probably my next episode I'm going to be doing something that's from this century and something newer, but this is from 1971, Memphis Soul Stew by King Curtis, and it's from the live at the Fillmore West album. We always talked about we want to do different genre and everything else, and everything's not going to be straight up either pop or rock and everything else. So this is kind of, you know, leaning more towards soul/funk/jazz stuff. And if you know anything about King Curtis, I mean, he's got such a repertoire. I'm going to explain a little bit about it after we hear it and everything. But I don't know a lot about all this other stuff. I don't listen to a lot of this stuff. But this song has always been something that's just kind of captured me. It's like every so often it would show up on some of my playlists and stuff. And one of those, I think it's interesting enough that I wanted to share. Very cool song.
Cool.
The live version.
I'm doing
the 7-minute version.
I'm doing.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a song called Bang by AJR. which is a super cool song. My wife actually introduced me to this song. I had never heard this song before, and the first time she played it, I was like, meh. And then I heard it again, and I was like, meh. it's pretty cool.
I'm at the meh, and then my next response was, What the hell was that? Yeah. What was that? What
it's,
did I just
It's really different.
To?
It's hard. To, yeah. It's one of those songs where it's kind of hard to nail down a genre because it's got some elements of a lot of different genres in it. And it's just kind of very different than some other stuff that's out there. So it's pretty cool. And it's very modern. Maybe, it's new. I mean, I think it's from like this past year or so.
Yeah. So maybe cool. I have to say, and we'll talk about this too, that as I'm listening to it, I'm thinking like, I've heard something like this before and I can't put my finger, and I still can't put my finger on it. So we'll have that discussion.
Yeah. Well. I wasn't sure what you were talking about with that, but which one do you want to do? Which one do you want to do first?
Let's do mine. You always push me to the side there, you know, push the old man, you know, to the end. So maybe he'll die before we end up the episode. So, but no, I'll do mine first this time.
All right. So here's a little taste. I'll give you the first, you know, 10 seconds or so. I think it's going to be mostly bass line.
It is. Yeah. Little drums.
Thank you. Today's special is Memphis Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, they're going to make some Frisco hot stew.
All right, so there's your little preview. There's a lot more that goes into it. Dad, you got to realize good. I don't want to get arrested here. So,
I know. So good. No, I wasn't saying don't stop. Oh, okay. I was saying it's so good.
So click the link in our show notes for the official You're Not Listening podcast playlist, or we have a link for the YouTube video as well, so you can listen to it there. Listen to it. Come on back, and we will talk about it.
So... It rocks,
it's
huh?
It's a jam.
Yeah?
That's
yeah.
a jam.
What'd you think?
I think that...
Now, you'd heard that before, correct?
I've heard it.
I mean, did
I've
I put that on some of the vacation CDs and stuff that
I
we did?
I don't think or? You ever did that because I think Mom would kill you if you did that.
True.
No, I've heard it before, but I've never really like listened closely to it. And
oh, so you may have heard it, but you were not listening.
Yeah. You know, the thing that stands out to me, obviously, as someone who plays bass, was the bass line.
The bass line through the entire thing. It drove
the whole thing, yeah. Yep. And they actually, so it's a complicated bass line, but it also is kind of unchanging, right? Like they don't change it too much. So, but he's got these fills that he regularly plays. See if I can, we can hear it. He kind of walks up a few times, which because he's not usually walking up, he's jumping, right? And then he does that fill. And he does that kind of regularly throughout it. But it sounds like it would just be a really fun to play as a musician.
If you look at the beginning of it, you know, it starts off with the bass, you know, so everything's built on that bass line. Everything is built
off
of that.
Well, that's how
music is anyway.
Blues,
right.
A lot of blues works like that. You'll get drum and bass to lay down the foundation and then you build off that. Like a lot of blues stuff doesn't come from a guitarist. The guitarist needs a structure for blues, right? So when you're looking at basic blues, like, you're not going to get a guitarist being like, hey, guys, I have this really good idea. It goes, he can't just start coming with that unless he has a structure.
How was that again?
But, you know, you can't come up with those blues guitar fill parts without a foundation to put them in.
Right, so and then fill in the bass and drums.
So that, that's what the guitarist needs to figure out what he's doing. And that comes from the rhythm guitar and the bass and the drums.
But this just shows so clearly, you know, the bass and the drum kind of foundation that this whole thing builds on.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, really good bass line. So, and you hear, like, that's what I heard through the whole thing.
Yes.
The other other stuff was kind of like sprinkles on top.
Yeah, well... Especially in the middle of it, it seems like, you know, at some point, King Curtis, you know, like, what are you doing? Going up and get a cup of coffee? Or like, you know, okay, you're going to be playing horn next?
Right.
Like, did you forget your horn?
Well, that,
you went off stage to go get it and come back?
That's
and
what
like,
I said.
You know,
well,
that's the jam aspect
The people who are listening don't know this because I cut it out, but when we were listening to it, that's what I said. I said, that's the problem with a lot of live tracks is, you know, when you're at a show, it's awesome when they draw out these parts. We're like, you know, this rhythm part may go for... only 4 bars or 8 bars or 16 bars in the regular song, but then they'll draw it out 4 times as long to kind of build the suspense and put on a show. And like, you know, who knows what he was doing to interact with the crowd or whatever. But when you're listening to it, like it comes a point where you're like, all right, like, where's the next thing? You know, like, this is going for kind of a while. So that's kind of the issue with some of these.
Especially in a song like this that, you know, there's always, okay, what's next? What's next? What's being added? Right. What's coming in?
The whole
premise of this is
he's adding things
to the stew.
To end in this big final jam where everybody is just going off, which is pretty cool.
So little history. And I don't even know where I heard this. I think it's probably back in the day when I used to listen to BCN, you know, and they would just kind of play different things like, whoa, that was interesting. And so I've always kind of had this
104.1 WBCN.
That's right. The sound of Boston.
The sound of Boston.
So it's always been hanging around there and always in my, you know, kind of background of music and like, let's put another CD. Let's burn a CD. Let's make a cassette. Let's do a playlist, whatever. And it's like, oh, I like that. I'm going to throw that in there too. And it's not something that I would ever play DJing. Mm. You know, I don't know if I ever did even during dinner or anything like that.
It doesn't fit in that venue.
But it's something that was interesting enough to me. And I think it's because, and I tried to figure out like why I like this song so much. I think it's because I like the layering of it. I like songs that do that just keep adding and just kind of, you know, and then come up with the big climax at the end. And maybe it harkens back to the first song I ever bought. The first 45 I ever bought was Archie Bell. No, first album I ever bought was Archie Bell and the Drells. Mm-hmm. Song called Tighten Up.
Yep.
This is the music we tighten up with. First, tighten up on the drums. Come on now, drummer. I want you to tighten up for me. You know, and it just builds and builds.
That's what a lot of the funk blues stuff does.
So I think I've always liked it because of that. And it kind of maybe was drawn to that because I love that. So, I mean, here I am. I don't even know what age I would have been when I'm buying Archie Bell and the Drells in Methuen, Massachusetts. And they're from like Texas's funk band. And then my first single was Get On Up by the Esquires, so it's like always funk kind of stuff in the background. But it's so it kind of maybe is reminiscent of that. The interesting thing about this song is he was a studio musician, and one of the things that he's always said, I think I'm going to quote him here, said King Curtis enjoyed playing both jazz and rhythm and blues the most. You know, he always obviously was you know, a rhythm and blues kind of guy, but decided he's going to make a lot more money as a rhythm and blues musician. And in a 1970 interview, he said, "I love the authentic rhythm and blues stuff more than anything, but I also like to live well." So he knew that he wasn't going to be a solo artist. He wasn't going to be kind of having a lot of songs on his own, but he was always going to be in a supportive role. And I have a laundry list, which I'm going to kind of blow through in a second, of some of the people that he's worked with, which is an incredible range and list of contemporary and oldies artists and stuff that he's always been part of. So he knew that that was going to be his role. But this song kind of hit. And it was 1971 when they released it. I think it might have been early, like 67 or 68, but it came out on an album because the live at Fillmore West concert was him supporting Aretha Franklin, and they also, you know, him and his band also released a couple, you know, had some sets and released this particular song. Well, 1 week after this was released, he was murdered.
Oh,
which is really interesting. 1971. So it was, I think, in August 1971, he was stabbed to death on the steps of his New York City apartment, you know, in an argument. And, you know, the album, the song had just come out. And then the tributes and the amount of people who kind of, you know, recognized him as being so influential in their own music, you know, and was amazing. But, you know, kind of the old cut down too early kind of situation, and never got to see the success. And, you know, it wasn't top 40. You know, you're not going to hear this as number one on the top 40 station.
Right,
but the people in the music industry and the people, you know, little more rhythm, blues / jazz stuff, like this is a mainstay. This is one of the best songs that you could hear. But he never got a chance to hear that and see that, which I thought was an interesting side note when I did a little research. So real quick, you ready? Mm-hmm. Here's a laundry list. Aretha Franklin, the Coasters. He played sax on Respect. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But for the Coasters, Yakety Yak and Charlie Brown. Nat Adderley, Buddy Holly, Waylon Jennings, Andy Williams, Laverne Baker, Led Zeppelin, Ruth Brown, the Shirelles, Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles, Brooke Benton, Stevie Wonder, Duane Allman, Sam Cooke, Fats Domino, Donny Hathaway, John Lennon, NRBQ, Herbie Mann, Freddie King, Rascals, Gary Wright, Lionel Hampton. And that's like a third maybe of some of the people that he's played with, contributed to their music and all.
You ever heard of any of those people?
I know all of them. You don't know, probably, right?
Listeners ever heard of any of those people?
Yeah, right. And some of the younger people may not, but I think they might know of Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles. They might have heard of John Lennon, you know. But, you know, oh, Buddy Holly. So, I mean, when you think about some of the people that have written the rules for contemporary music back in their day that still influences music nowadays, he's right in the forefront of it, you know, which is so cool. So, just one of those things that just always hit me. You want some specifics? You ready?
Yeah.
So at 1:03, first off, when the guitar first comes in. So first off, if you haven't heard this yet.
If you didn't listen.
Right. The additional music that just keeps getting added on, the layers and layers and layers keep adding to it, to this huge, you know, I mean, it's probably more like a contemporary band now would be a jam, you know, if you were just sitting around and seeing something live on stage. But it wasn't called back then. It was just this kind of soul funk kind of jam, I guess, that live probably was pretty magical. So 1:03, guitar comes in. It's going to, you know, kind of fill in where it's supposed to, but then takes its place and it keeps adding more and more to the mix and then kind of embellishes as it gets added in.
Good fill.
Yep. But then listen to what he does after this.
Carnell Dupree from Fort Worth, Texas on me.
And then, you know, fast forward a little, 1:29, Billy Preston, who was called the fifth Beatle because he did a lot of keyboard work with them. He's on Let It Be. He's very involved in Let It Be and Abbey Road. And he has like an extended solo. And if you want to ever research anybody who has had a huge influence on music itself, research Billy Preston and you'll see what he did. He has some hits of his own back in the 60s and 70s, but unbelievable pedigree of music that he's kind of established before then. A great afro.
A little pinch of organ.
Great afro.
You know, I love the B3 into the Leslie.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite things.
If
you don't know what I mean by that, go. We listen to our past episodes. Some point, we talk about the Leslie and how it works. And I think it was the Tom Petty episode, actually, when we talked about Don't Do Me Like That.
Yep.
Because we told a story of how they had to kind of, they forgot to turn the Leslie on, so they had to kind of manipulate the tape to make it sound like it.
Yeah.
That's always a good sound.
Yeah, and you know, again, Billy Preston, again, with the pedigree and everything, Billy, you know, when the Beatles did their last concert on the rooftop and everything else, and that was so famous, Billy Preston was the only other person on the roof with them. Mm-hmm. Like, he has such a connection with the Beatles that he literally was called the fifth Beatle. Mm-hmm. Stuff, so. And then one of my second favorite part, Memphis Horns come in at 2:14. Now, the Memphis Horns are right out of the Stack Studio down in Memphis. So if you ever want to watch a good documentary, I know we've talked about documentaries on this. That's kind of how we kind of get into trying to invite Liberty.
Yep.
Liberty DeVito from the one we watched with him. But there's one about the Stack Studios in Memphis. They are, I think they have like 83 number one hits over the course of their recording, you know, including Sitting Dock in the Bay, Let's Stay Together, Suspicious Minds by Elvis. I mean, the range of what they do, and it was always the Memphis Horns were in the background, and the Memphis Horns are playing on this cut, and it's at 2:14.
It's your Memphis Horns.
I mean, such a classic sound.
Yeah, yeah.
And going
it just adds so much.
And going up in the scale, too. You know, it just adds another layer on there that kind of brings everything up a little bit, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
It's such a classic sound that it could almost be looked at as cheesy. When you're looking at like the Blues Brothers and they're kind of like parodying this whole genre, that sound is everywhere. And that's just, you know, like if SNL was to do a skit about like blues and funk stuff, like, you know, that sound would be in there because it's so classic.
Yeah, but remember the Blues Brothers, as much as it was tongue in cheek, it was also very accurate,
right?
You know, with music and talking about old blues music, and you know, and having Steve Cropper and it on did have really good and music stuff like it did, yeah. It did, and it was legit music. It wasn't stuff that they just made up. You know, they it was the delivery that was the funny part,
right?
You know,
and
it was legit music.
If you want something like that, that's more deep in the cheese, just watch Blues Brothers 2. I can't. It's horrible.
I don't know if I ever even give myself permission to watch that. Why? What is it?
No, it's just bad. It's just bad. Yeah.
It should have ended, and there's no way they should have done too.
They did. You know, there's a balance in Blues Brothers of like the funny and the excessive, and
the really
and
good
then
music.
Like the good music and like the cool cameos and kind of like the decent storyline, and then with they could have gone either way with it for the sequel, and they went in the direction of the really corny and excessive and trying really
Let's
hard
make
to
make a couple
funny.
Bucks.
Yeah, it feels like a cash grab that just I don't recommend it, but if you're into that stuff, check it out. I'm sure it has its fan base.
You know, and you know I'm a huge fan of, you know, when you have these studios that came out from all over the country, and you know, including you know, LA had had their studio, and you know the backing musicians that were in so many things, and then you've got the Wrecking Crew coming out of that, and then you know you've got Detroit, you know, with Motown and their band and stuff, and then you know you've got the Stax Group coming out of Memphis, and there's other ones coming from Mississippi with it. Like that stuff I think is so intriguing to me, but the Memphis Horns sound, which is so classic of what you just heard, was part of so many songs that you don't even know, like, where did that come from? Same guys,
right.
Same horns on, you know, 80 plus songs stuff. So it, this song would have been pretty good, but to bring in the horns on this was just magical. So I think that's something that adds a lot to it.
Yeah.
And then a funny part that I think is, you know, is interesting. It seems to me, again, who am I, you know, I'm trying to get in the heads of the producers, or you know, King Curtis's head, or I wasn't even at the show. I haven't even seen a live version of it. But it seems like at 5:36, like he's getting ready to kind of bring it all home. Like, all right, you let it simmer, and you sit on the stove, and it's like, okay, it's right. We have a piano player too. Mm-hmm. Let's slide him in, you know, and give him a little bit. And you know, at 4:36, seems to have kind of forgotten about it. But then the drum solo kind of like escorts him out at 5:02. Interesting too. 30 seconds later, so.
Not sure what I
was like. No, that's all. That's all. You know, and then hit 5:02. So 5:02, when the drums come in, like, okay, sorry we forgot about you, but you're not going to be here for too much longer. Let me kind of usher you out.
That's a great drum fill,
isn't it?
That trap snare sound. That's jazz drumming. This whole song, it has straight jazz drumming, which is.
And it sends such a cool message of the old, okay, I'm controlling the vibe, and I'm controlling, you know, who plays what now, you know, so. And then it all comes together at 5:21, you know, and, you know, he basically comes in, you know, and says, and then you beat. Now, remember, he's setting the table that this is a soul stew. This is a stew. This is a combining of all these different elements. And then you put it on the burner, let it simmer, and then you raise the temperature. And then at the end, and you beat. Well, and it just, because in this huge soul funk kind of blues jam, and highlights King Curtis's sax solo work, which is amazing. He's looked at as one of the most influential sax players from, you know, in all time. So anybody who plays sax, like whether it was Clarence Clemons or, you know, Jerry from OAR, I mean, they always cite King Curtis as one of the main influences. It just shows, you know, what he can do, and it rolls. And then it goes for a long time in a jam, and it just kind of ends at the end stuff. But that 5:21 when it kicks in is the old holy, and that to me, goofy as I am, that's goosebumps for me.
And then you beat. Oh. Well.
It's good stuff.
And it goes, and the bass is just continuing and just kind of drives. So just, you know, and again, whether it's the layering, whether it's just the incredible talents of the musicians, but this song has always grabbed me. And it's always one of those that, like, I think I know why, but I kind of don't know why. But I've never really strayed too far from it.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a genre that I have really done, like, deep dives into. Like, I don't, it's not something, it's, you know, there's genres that catch people. And then you kind of can go down the rabbit hole and you get really sucked into it. And this genre, I know, is your, like, world in some sense.
Well, mine is more the funk world. And this is elements of that. I mean, I don't really get into the jazz stuff.
Right.
I never have.
Right.
You know,
so. And see, for me, like, when I'm looking at, like, jazz music and stuff, like, I go down the path of Dixieland jazz and, like, and New Orleans jazz.
Yep.
Like, that is the stuff that I love. It's a little more messy, but controlled. It's less driven by the bass lines and more by kind of the horns, and, right. and it's a little more right. free flowing and not as tight. And so there's, you know, that's what grabs me. So this, I kind of have to like really drill down and listen really hard to pick up
you
on
have to
everything
force yourself.
Because it's
yeah.
not,
cause you could,
it doesn't, it, like, when I listen to Dixieland jazz, everything comes to me when I'm listening. Like I'll hear the trombone part at the same time as the trumpet part, and they're going to be different, and yep. I get it all, and it like it's easy for me to kind of pick up on everything. With this, I really need to like knuckle down and really pay attention to listen to hear everything, which
because
is
if you
it's
you
not
don't...
that it's bad or that I don't like it, it's just that it doesn't speak to me in a way that's easy for me to pick up on.
Right. And if you don't pay attention to it, you could be not listening, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll miss it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why I wanted to bring it to the table, also for you,
right?
But you know, for any listeners as well. And it's funny because if you were to say to me, "Hey, Dad, throw some jazz on a list or something like this," I would consider this more soul / rhythm and blues, funk,
yeah.
rather than this would not be in my jazz category. Well, I have jazz.
Jazz is
I have some stuff.
I mean,
jazz
is
a big umbrella.
Yeah, there are some people who say, "Oh, like, you know, do you listen to jazz music?" And they're thinking Kenny G's Christmas album. Like, there's
yeah.
just
yeah.
it's so wide. People just don't even.
Yep. Yep.
People don't understand how much falls underneath jazz, and you can go into so yep. many different little pockets in it.
Yep.
So, yeah, interesting.
And it's funny because when you
would consider this just, less jazz and more rhythm and blues.
Yes.
And soul. I mean, it's soul music. It's soul funk, but the thing yep. that makes it sound jazz to me is the drum part. That's a yep. jazz drummer playing that drum part.
Well, and when you said that, I started thinking back in my head, what I even like, I would never even have you said, "Hey, Sean, I'm going to do a jazz song." You know, I'm going to do a song that maybe has elements of jazz, but, you know, I'm going to do a full soul funk kind of type of thing. And, you know, it was pre-funk because funk, you know, was shortly after that mm-hmm. And everything. But it was all obviously bass driven and the drums obviously yeah. kind of drive everything with this stuff. But interesting that you kind of pull out that word, because I never would have said, "Hey, listen to some jazz."
Well, it's interesting. Maybe the next episode or yep. one of the upcoming episodes, I'll do. I have a jazz song. I have a song by the Tin Pan Stompers called. It's actually a Dixieland jazz cover of an old
yeah.
song called "My Heart Belongs to Daddy," which is you may know that the really old version of the song where it's.
I've heard. Yeah, I've heard
but
that.
This is a Dixieland jazz version of it. There's no vocals in it. But it is. It is really, really good. And so that would be kind of yeah. cool to bring that in and do like a comparison
yeah.
kind of some of the things, yep. some of the elements that are similar, and we can kind of look at that. But guy, I should yep. have done that today. It's too late to
No,
nah,
because
to
I think that would have been too similar. You know,
that's
we
true.
Want to make sure we keep it different enough too. So, and I'm going to do some newer stuff down the road too. So that might be a nice kind of bookend with, you know, with some jazz or something yeah. that you would do too.
For
so.
Sure. So,
that's it. What do you think? I know it's something that you had to listen harder about.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of things that like notes that I can get because I wasn't able to kind of let it wash over me and just kind of like make my notes
yep.
and stuff. I like I said, it's not a genre that I'm drawn to, so it's good. As a musician, I really appreciate it, especially
yep.
as a bass player
yep.
because that's not easy to. We talked about it with Lib, you know, and when we talked about saw her standing there, it's hard to maintain a complicated bass line even if it's repetitive. For
mm-hmm.
that long, for 7 minutes,
yeah.
come on. So
yeah, right, yeah, true.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's really a highlight of the musicianship of these people, and that's what jazz and some of these other related genres to this song do anyway.
Yeah.
is highlight those.
And, but when you're listening to it, you probably listen to it in a very different way than I do. You pull out the bass, and that's what like is driving it in the back of your
yeah,
ears.
Yeah, I find myself
I'm
trying to figure. Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. What key is that in? And what scale? You know, what
right.
which blues scale is he dialing in on? And then you're like, wait, oh, I missed, you know, these
yeah.
other parts because I was trying to figure that out. So
yeah, and what I listen to is like I can't wait for this to get to the end.
Yeah.
Not because I want to be over, but I want that big
well,
jam.
Well, I'm
at the
thinking
end,
about
that
when I'm listening to this, I'm picturing myself playing it. Like I'm picturing what it would be like to
oh,
play
okay.
this with other people, and because it is a
right.
jam, it's really it. This is just a jam. This
yeah.
could be in front of 100,000 people, or this could be in someone's basement with a bunch of people that just want to get together and play music.
Yeah.
And it's going to sound
yep.
exactly the
yep.
same because it's just
yep.
a good jam, a fun,
yeah, and
fun
right.
jam. And it's one of those things, like
right.
this song could last 25 minutes, because everyone's getting their turn, and they just go back and forth, bouncing back and forth with solos and little fills and stuff like that. So
that's you need what a someone jam to reel it in.
That's
you need
why,
someone
like,
to reel in. It's like that, we've been doing it for 20 minutes. Shut it down.
Right. That's the whole the funny stereotype with jam bands is these songs that last 24 minutes because they forget that they're performing for people and they're just jamming.
And they just go back and forth.
And they're playing for themselves, which is great for the musician. But sometimes, you know, when you go, I guess when you go to a Fish concert, you're on another planet anyway, so you don't even realize. But like,
don't make generalizations now. Come on.
You go to a show and you may say, okay, this band has been playing, you know, OAR is one of my favorite bands. They've been playing Crazy Game of Poker. This song lasted 30 minutes. I love the song.
Yeah.
But I can't sing along with the lyrics because now you're just making stuff up. And the jam has been going on for so long that, like, it's harder to appreciate that guitar solo when it lasts 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So you get lost in the sauce.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Lost in the sauce. Go buy that t-shirt. Click on the link in our show notes for the Teespring store. All right. Well, time is actually getting away from us a little bit. So what is your favorite part of the song? I think you already said.
Oh, certainly at the end, that 521.
Yeah.
The 521. The 520. And, you know, and then you beat. Well, and there's and it's just when everybody kicks in. It's just, I think it's magical. Sure. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, is it really worth asking who can cover this? Because it's like I said, it's a jam.
I don't know. You know, a band with a strong horns. I would say maybe, which is another band that
like a collection a collection of students from the Berklee College of Music.
Yeah, but there's actually a band out there that's like that has like four saxophones and. Three trumpets and complete, you know, backing behind Taro Power.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, which if you ever know anything about Taro Power,
the thing about
if you ever
this
want to
though is like
dive,
if someone covers a song
you know,
like this, like it's not gonna be the same. This is not the kind of song where it's like you learn a part and you play it. This is the kind of song where someone's like, okay, I see what scale they're playing and let me make up a bass line that sounds vaguely
similar.
It's got to
be free-flowing, right?
Yeah, so it's not really like covering because it's not like you're singing the lyrics and you're not going to say the same things that he says as you're introducing each person. Like it's not really a coverable song. You can use it as a template to kind of have a jam.
And I actually did a little research on that too because I wondered if anybody had covered it. And I looked in one of the guys that was in his band, Bernard Purdy, I think it was, had covered it in with his own band. And it just didn't sound
I bet every time that they played it was different.
But you know what? I've heard several versions of it and seen some things on YouTube because I want to see what it looked like while they played it. And they played it. I mean, it was the old, okay, same solo, you know, same thing, but, you know, a little different, but it, the structure and everything was very, very, very similar. So it was a well practiced free form jam that they had. But to hear other people do it, it didn't even sound so much as it was different. It just didn't sound right. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you may be right. Maybe a song that's uncoverable if there's such a thing. You know,
yeah, and not because it's a legendary song and it's untouchable. It's just not the type of song that's really lends itself to being covered. So,
and so how do you do something that's kind of, you know, that organic, that's a live thing covered by someone else? You can't. It's never going to be the same. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how about you? Did you like it though? Yeah. I mean, was it interesting enough?
Yeah, I liked it. I like a lot of the guitar fills and the bass fills and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
just because talented musicians.
Yeah,
I
it's just really good musicianship.
Yeah. So good. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. No,
I'm glad that and you know when we first started talking about this, you said, "Okay, Dad, go get a list of some songs."
Yeah,
and that was on my initial list. I mean, my podcast songs now is way too long. Yeah, I keep adding ones to it and stuff. I had to start taking some off, but this song was on my initial list.
Well, the song I'm doing was not on my initial list because I literally decided like yesterday. I kind of reheard the song and I was like, this would be cool to look into. So I listened to it a bunch yesterday and I was like, we could talk about this. This is cool. I mean, it's not a song that I like love and I play all the time. Like Sam, my wife likes this song. She's got a couple songs by this group, AJR. And this one I just think is cool. There's a lot of like kind of cool little things going on in it. It's just it's interesting to listen to and it's a kind of a fun groove to it. It's, you know, it's got some surprises in it. So
how did she find them? Do you know?
I don't know. She's
just listen just through contemporary music.
Yeah,
think
she plays. I think she does a lot of the kind of suggested playlists on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
She listens to radio more. She's more in dialed in with mainstream music than I am.
Okay, gotcha.
Especially on the countryside, she listens to a lot of the modern country music, so I don't know too much. I know more of those songs that are out now than I ever did because she likes to listen to it. So,
yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, she just played this one day when we were in the car, and I was like, she was like, oh, this is a cool song. I was like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, I heard it again, yes, heard it again the other day, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of neat things going on in there. So,
see, you should listen to your wife more. She can give you some good music.
I always listen to my wife.
That's right.
Sometimes I just don't hear. By the way, I had to get a hearing test yesterday because my hearing has been off. Yeah, funny.
Yeah, okay.
Is it okay? My hearing is fine. I have some eustachia tube. There's something wrong with them. They're inflamed or something. It's like all allergy stuff. So I got steroids and nasal sprays and stuff that are gonna kind of open that up.
I mean,
my ears always feel like they're blocked. I kind of feel like I'm underwater all the time, and so sometimes hearing is actually very difficult for me. It kind of sounds like Charlie Brown Teacher sometimes, even when I'm really trying to listen. All right, but that's another thing.
Well, heaven forbid that you and I should have any hearing loss after we've been in front of speakers for so long,
playing in basement bands all through high school without ear protection. Yep. Stupid. All right, so the song is called Bang by AJR. Here's a little preview. I'll play the first few seconds of it.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around, and the rumpus and ruck is...
So that's it. There's a lot more that there's a lot more to it. So go to the official Spotify playlist, You're Not Listening Spotify playlist, or click the link in the show notes to watch it on YouTube. It's a kind of an interesting, kind of a cool video. I'm really curious how they did this stuff in the video, because it was really interesting and kind of cool how they did that. I'm sure there's some editing magic, but go check it out, listen, come on back, and we'll talk about it. Yeah, I love that. Here we go.
Here we go.
What are your initial reaction to that? It's just so interesting.
I keep coming back like, where have I heard? I don't know where, but I've heard something similar, and I can't find it in my brain. So, my initial, and I did a little research as you were just listening. Like, you know, these are guys out of New York City. They were busking down in, you know, the lower Manhattan, so they're probably NYU students or something like that. And all of a sudden have their own sound. It's just like, this is really different and interesting enough, but I can see why it's catchy, but I don't know what it is about it that is grabbing me. I don't know why. I kind of like it, and I don't know if I understand.
Yeah, it's cool. So first of all, before we get into kind of the weird little elements that they mishmash together to create a song, the lyrics are kind of funny because it's almost like it's really coming from a place. It's like, really, for my generation, right? Because it really kind of talks about how, like, you're a grown-up now and you're an adult, but you don't feel like one. Like, you feel like a kid. You know, lines like, when he says, it's a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow. And then he says, so I got an apartment across from the park, put quinoa in my fridge. Still, I'm not feeling grown. You know,
see, I wasn't even paying attention to the lyrics as much.
Feel like I'm going to puke because my taxes are due. Does my password begin with a one or a two? You know, it's just like one of those things where it's like, I still feel like a kid. I don't feel like I'm ready for the responsibilities, but it's like, you know, you got
to
be an adult. And so it's like, it's interesting, kind of it's relatable from my generation for that. And I don't know if your generation may still feel that way too. You may still feel like you're a 22-year-old kid, you know, who knows?
Every day.
So I really need to breeze through this. We need to schedule these better because I always have other meetings after this and I run out of time, but.
I'm sorry, I talked way too much.
It's fine. But I like how it starts with that piano, the dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
and he kind of like, it's a really kind of slow start, but then they just come in with that bang, 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 which is obviously prevalent throughout the whole thing.
Comfortable now, been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow.
It's just like, oh, that's kind of weird, and it's got the chipmunk voices and all that. But the thing that I love is the here we go, which just happens all the time throughout this, but you know, right before he goes into the chorus, that's what it is.
Here we go.
Like, it sits in the back, right? and it's like an electronic voice. Like, it's not them saying it. It's like some. It's just like a. It's almost like a recording. Like that they would be playing. Here we go. Like it's old radio or something.
Yeah, it's certainly done in that same kind of feel. The genre.
It's a really cool bridge between the verse and the chorus. You know that you break and then it's just here we go and then let's go into the chorus, which is obviously a much louder and much more. You know, it's higher notes and it's more instrumentation, and so it's cool.
And is that production, you think? Is that just, hey, let's throw this on there? Or you think that's like in the original?
No, I think, yeah, I think this song was built in a studio, and I think it was like, you know, let's put all these elements together. I mean, the rhythm and the beat in it is very hip hop. It's all computerized. Yeah. There's not a drummer in this song, you know, it's all beats made.
There's not a lot of instruments in this at all.
No, there's not.
Right.
The piano is really what you're looking at, and then some synthesizers and stuff. But then they, you know, they have a couple of those other ones. The other one that stands out to me is at 1:13, instead of saying, here we go, you know, they're going from the chorus to another verse, and they say, metronome. The beat has, the beat actually has a metronome in it, and the beat is a little bit more full. I'll just play that for you.
Yeah. Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something.
And that's a cool beat.
Thank you all for coming.
That's cool. They just incorporated the metronome in it and it added a whole new element to the beat. It's just really neat. It's interesting.
Interesting.
You know.
Now, I'm interested to find out if like a lot of their other stuff is similar or if this is just kind of like a one-off.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
everything else feels
different. Sam has played some of the other songs for me. It's a similar sound, but you know, they're not identical and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, those are really the things that stand out to me. Like, I think without those, this song would be kind of forgettable.
Okay.
Without those kind of little elements, you know, the little voices in the background. And then they got the chipmunk voices, too, at some point. Bang, 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 bang. And you might not notice that, if you're just listening casually. But, like, that adds a lot because it's put it on the end because they're doing that bang, bang, bang throughout the whole song. But then near the end when they're doing it, they add that. It's another little. I don't want to use the term bridge because it's not in music. Bridge means something different, but it bridges the gap between that part and the next part.
Yeah,
and usually there's a space there, but at the end they're doing that bang ba bang, and it's just just enough to kind of like add to something.
So you think this is intentional to be so quote unquote different?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the kind of feel. And number two question would be. I mean, can't you see this in like, you know, some real cutting edge driven to hit your generation's commercial?
Yep.
You know, in the background, like all of a sudden the song like takes off like crazy, like, wow, that was great. And all of a sudden now they become, you know, very well known because of it. I can almost feel like it's
a commercial
it's
for
gonna,
like a
it's going to come back door
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. You know, just like different enough that it kind of captures you for that reason. So, like I have to say, if I was listening to the radio and stuff at the beginning, especially with the piano stuff, like I'm not so sure this would capture me and want me to listen more. I do now, you know, but it's just it was just different enough. But it didn't. It's kind of like, come on, take off, do something, and it just
you know,
didn't.
It's
it
not
didn't,
a song
just kinda,
that I don't think I would enjoy this
didn't
live.
Grow.
I wouldn't enjoy it live. I enjoy it for the idea of like sitting down and like dissecting it, right? Because it is a mishmash of these weird little elements. Like it's not like they wrote a verse and wrote a chorus and like played down the tracks. Like it's almost like they did, okay, let's just sing all these verses that we have and then let's sing one of these choruses. Then how can we connect them together? Well, we get this cool sound effect and we'll do that and throw this in. Like it's almost like it was, they had all these things that they wanted to put together. It's almost like a piece of artwork, right? Like they're looking at the
canvas,
like a canvas, basically. Like when you're looking at like your Pro Tools or your mixing software, right? And it's like a canvas, and you're putting these elements together in places to make it like an art project, as opposed to like a song.
Okay, so here's me pushing you. You ready? As a musician, okay. Mm-hmm. How does that feel? Because this feels very electronic, feels very computer driven. It doesn't.
It is, but you know what? It's still music. I mean, they're using drum machines. It's not like they put in code into a computer and then it spewed out this song, right?
No.
Someone's making this music, whether they're using an instrument like a guitar or a bass, or they're using a little pad with that that makes drum beats.
Yeah.
Someone's making this music. It's synthesizers and it's and they got to record.
And I had
vocals.
This image of, you know, not so much a drummer or a drum track or something, but you know what is it called when they sit on the box? Not is it Cajun? What is it?
A cajon.
Cajon, is that what that's called? Like I have the image of someone sitting on one of those with two other guys sitting around and kind of making this up, you know, and having this song kind of come as a result of that, you know. Again, maybe that's the image of the buskers sitting in a subway.
Right. But, and I think that comes from the stereotype of my generation of the lazy millennials that, you know, that's when the cajon really grew with my generation and people were, you know, being all trying to, the hipster movement and all that stuff.
Trying to do something different.
So I think you're probably stereotyping my generation. So
I could be. Sorry about that. But I kind of like it. Like, I want one of those, you know. It's kind of a cool thing.
Those are
but
cool. That's kind like of like a whole drum kit in a box, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's not a lot of meat to the song. I just thought it was cool. I'm running out of time, so I just thought it was cool to kind of dissect the different parts that I found interesting, and it's cool to listen to. It's not something that I would put on regularly, but when I do put it on, I enjoy it.
Yeah, I might want to go and listen to some of their other stuff to kind of see, you know, what else they have to offer as well too. While you were talking, while I was listening, I was trying to think about like what is it that reminds me, and. In a somewhat similar thing, and I don't even know why I love this song and it grabbed me so much, but there was a song by the Asteroids that was in a Heineken commercial years ago that kind of grabbed me, that felt similar, and it was called The Golden Age.
Yeah, I think I know. I think I remember that.
And it was just different enough, high-pitched voice and stuff and everything. It's like, maybe that's where it came. But this
there
is
some other stuff out there like this.
Yeah. Well, I imagine, but is it something that I would have crossed paths with? Because you obviously would have this, you know, as Sam did, you're probably listening in a little different way, you know, from your generation than I would be, but there's something about this that feels very, very familiar.
It's very hip. It's very, like, this type of song is going to be really dated in a few years, right?
Oh, okay.
Like,
you think so?
Like, when you're looking at something like, you know, when I got married in 2015, it was like, the stuff that was popular was like kind of island music, hip hop stuff.
Yeah,
it was that. What's that song about the guy who wants to marry? I'm a marrier anyway. What was that?
Okay.
Like that's the kind of stuff that was popular, and it was huge. And then by 2017, it was super dated.
Gone.
And so, like, I think this is the same kind of thing where it's just going to be really dated. It's like this is not going to be evergreen.
Gotcha. Yeah. Good. All right. Favorite part.
Here we go.
Not metronome. Here we go.
No, here we go. I actually really love that metronome part because I like what it adds to the beat afterwards. Yeah. I think that's really cool. But every time I hear that, here we go, it grabs me. I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
And I'm not so sure you can answer like who you would have covered this because I don't know if it's a song that could be covered. Yeah. Maybe that the Asteroids. Because
when you think about covering, you picture like someone playing this song and like you play the song by pressing play on stereo, you know, like that's what it is. So
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Asteroids Galaxy Tour doing it. I bet they do a good job on it. So that's the, that's that band. So.
All right. I got to go.
All right, man.
But remember to check out Pantheon Podcasts for more music related podcasts. Check out the Teespring store to buy some sweet gear and follow us on all of the socials. Make sure you stay hydrated, listen to good music, and don't be a dick. And wash your hands.
Why not?
Because you're grimy. Go wash your hands.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
See you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.